supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is today's special, and the topic is giving gifts in Islam.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
But first, we open the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 12th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 24th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. For today, we choose chapter An-Naml, verse 34 to 35, to listen to and learn about it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qalat ya ayyuhal mala'u aftuni fi amri ma kuntu qati'atan amran hatta tashhadun.
She said, O eminent ones, advise me in my affair. I would not decide a matter until you witness for me.
قَالُوا نَحْنُ أُولُو قُوَّةٍ وَأُولُو بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ وَالْأَمْرُ إِلَيْكِ فَانْظُرِي مَاذَا تَأْمُرِينَ.
They said, we are men of strength and of great military might, but the command is yours, so see what you will command.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The tyrants and the kings knew that the divine prophets did not seek for money, yet they tried to attract them and make them quiet thereby. So the queen of Saba added, implying that before anything else they should test Solomon and those around him to see indeed what was their condition. Was Solomon a king or a prophet? Was he a destroyer or a reformer? Did they use to drag nations to meanness or to honor? So for this aim they might use of some presents.
It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. The greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah.
As I told you, the topic of this episode of today's special is giving gifts in Islam. Gift giving is one of the good manners that maintains and strengthens relations between the giver and the recipients. It is one of the acts that Prophet Muhammad recommended Muslims to do. The Messenger of Allah used to accept gifts and reward people for giving them. The phrase reward people for giving them means giving the giver at a later time something of equal value, at least in return. This hadith or narration indicates that accepting gifts and giving something of equal value or more to the giver is the way of the Prophet. Peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about various aspects of offering presents and gifts to friends in Islam. Usually, we find that it's a common practice, not only in Muslim communities, but also almost everywhere in the world, that friends may give gifts to each other. Or, for example, you may give a present or give a gift to a friend, or for example to an old classmate, to a colleague, to a friend, or even for example to some of your family members. Various kinds of some such gifts can be found. Now, for example, in certain nations, for example in Thailand, flowers or for example some fruits may be given to people Or, for example, in certain communities, I mean, that are really, I mean, well-to-do families, for example, someone may dedicate a home, I mean, an abode to a beloved person, for example, to one's own wife. Or in some African communities, some people may dedicate their beloved, for example, sons or daughters to the chiefs of their tribes. And now we find that, of course, it doesn't mean that all of them are acceptable. However, in many places, you find that some of these gifts are really good. For example, it's a good practice to give a gift, I mean, a valuable gift to a teacher or to a university professor, especially when, for example, a former student or a colleague may give such a gift, a valuable gift to a teacher. Or, for example, in some communities, we find that some on certain days, I mean, some gifts may be given to, I mean, all people in a community or a selected number of them. For example, in a school or in a university, some outstanding teachers may receive some books or dictionaries or other types of gifts in appreciation of their efforts over the years.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special and seeking the pleasure of Allah. How can you seek the pleasure of Allah when giving gifts to someone? By aligning your intention, gifts promote harmony and love between Muslims and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, is pleased when His slaves live in harmony. When giving gifts, if you make an intention to connect your hearts with the recipient, spread joy and warmth, strengthen your bonds, and earn pleasure of Allah, the barakah will follow. When you give gifts and don't want to receive something in return, it is considered as if you're giving sadaqah. When giving gifts, do it with the intention of performing a righteous deed, increasing the bond between you and the recipient, and seek the pleasure of Allah the Almighty.
The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The gift of life He granted us, how could we ever repay? Show gratitude to your Creator, and please do not delay.
Best Islamic gift, ideas for everyone. Quran pack, best idea for everyone. While talking about the best Islamic gifts idea, if we don't talk about the Quran pack, then it will be 100% wrong. Quran pack is the most crucial source of authority for Muslims. Therefore, giving this book as a gift to your Muslim fellow should be very priority. It is also a source of rightfulness and a path to success for Muslims. Therefore, you should give Quran pack as a gift to your friends and family members. This gift will be the best gift of their lives. Other Islamic books like that of Nahjul Balagha or Sahifa al-Sajjadiyah are also very recommended.
As it turns out, psychologists have done a lot of research on what kinds of gifts people appreciate the most. And what's interesting is that the kinds of gifts we think people will like as gift givers turn out not to necessarily be the kinds of things that people actually really truly appreciate the most as gift recipients. Let's start with a simple example, which is that you should probably ask someone what they want before you buy them a gift. I know, it's revolutionary, but let's look at the evidence. Research shows that people tend to appreciate gifts more when it's something that they explicitly asked for, compared to when it was something that the gift giver came up with him or herself. And here's one of those weird mismatches where gift givers usually assume that the recipients won't care one way or another. Oh, sure, you told me you want these things, but you really don't care what I get you. You'll be just as happy if I come up with my own horrible idea. So the advice here is pretty obvious. Ask people what they want and don't assume you can come up with something good all by yourself. And here's another pro tip that comes from research in psychology. If you're the gift recipient in this scenario, ask for one thing. Don't give someone a whole list of things that you might want, because what happens, as the studies show, is that gift givers get your list and they go, oh, well, if they list all of these things, then it must mean that they don't care exactly what it is that they get, and I'm just as good at picking something for them as whatever is on their list. But when you put only one thing on your wish list, the gift giver gets the hint and realizes that this must be the thing you really want, and everybody's happy at the end.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection, and of course, don't forget to follow us on parstoday.com/en, today's special. By the way, we continue this interesting topic that was giving gifts in Islam.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners. Let us contemplate the wise words spoken by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Do not disrespect your weak friends. God will surely disgrace him, whoever disgraces a believer, and will not gather them in the same place on the day of resurrection, unless repentance is shown.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith, which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about education and the benefits of education, but to be more specific, it's about the benefits of education in childhood, right? And how learning in childhood is better than learning when we are adults. Of course, the Holy Prophet Muhammad has lots of hadiths, there's lots of hadiths from the Prophet, from other people, from other the infallibles, regarding learning in general, and specifically how we shouldn't stop learning until we die, right? We know there's a famous, we've all heard the famous hadith, which says that one should learn from the cradle to the grave. Min al Mahdi ila Allah. This is a famous hadith from the Prophet. Nevertheless, this doesn't mean to say, this doesn't imply that there's certain times which are better for learning than others, right? That it isn't, these kind of hadiths don't contradict what we want to say today, right? It simply means that we should always be learning, we should always be obtaining knowledge, but at the same time, there's certain times which are better for learning than others. And the best time for learning is in childhood and in youth. Why? It's because at this time, we can better memorize and learn and remember what we learn. The Prophet Muhammad says, the similitude of one who learns in his childhood is like carving on stone. What a beautiful hadith. The Prophet Muhammad compares the mind of a child to stone, and the information and knowledge which is being placed in the mind of the child to the letters which are being carved in the stone. Just like the stone, if we carve something in a stone, it will never be erased, or it's very difficult to erase it and wipe it out. What we learn in childhood is difficult to obliterate and to forget. In contrast, the Prophet says, whereas the similitude of one who learns in old age is like writing on water. If you write something on, let's say, the face of a stream or the face of a lake, it immediately is obliterated, right? So this tradition and this hadith clearly indicates that if we can, we should learn when we are in childhood. Of course, there are stories of people who began learning in their old age and when they were old, and they were still able to attain high levels of education and learning and become great men of wisdom. Like, for example, there's a famous story of the famous scholar named Sakkaki, who began learning when he was an old man, but nevertheless he was able to attain a high level of learning. But these are only exceptions. There's also a famous scholar named Mr. Jahangir Khane Qashqai. He was a famous scholar, and he began learning when he was an old man, when after he had crossed the age of 50, and he was still able to attain high levels of learning and education. But these were exceptions. We shouldn't try to delay learning based on these few exceptions which have been mentioned in history. Rather, the norm is that people, they generally tend to learn better when they are of a young age. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the benefits of learning in childhood in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
محمد. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, to the Let's Read and Recite the Quran Kareem. So we are going to start with the recitation of Mahdi al-Husseinan here. Inshallah, we'll listen to him. Surah al-Takwir, page
586.
Okay. 87. So everyone turn to open your Quran, please, if you have, and listen to the very beautiful recitation of Mahdi al-Husseinan.
Innahu laqawlu rasulin kareem.
Ahsan, mashallah.
Easy, very easy.
Okay, so next ayah. Minhan Hussein, read the next ayah.
Zay kawatin inadazil ar inadazin arashi makin.
Ahsan. Okay, now listen up. So if you want to improve your reading, Minhan Hussein, everyone, okay? So look, you want to recite this way. Zay kawatin
inadazil arashi makin. So it has
alif lam. Yes, we'll talk about it. So now you want to recite this way.
No, sir, it has that. Ya maksure.
Yeah. So look, you recite this way. Zi quwwatin 'inda dhil 'arshi makin. If you want to improve and master how to read the Quran like this, okay? Your goal is to read like this, okay? Fast and fluent without any mistake, yes? So, but you need to, step by step, you need to learn. How? The first step was learning the alphabet letters. The second step was learning the vowel letters, short vowels and long vowels, tashdeed, sukun, these things. That alhamdulillah you have done. The next step is this. Now you can identify, yes, Minhan Hussein? Dhal, ya, qaf, waw, ta, ayn, noon, dal. You can identify, okay? But the next step is to read the words, okay, separately. For example, the quwwatin. Do it, Minhan Hussein.
The quwwatin.
Now, faster. The quwwatin. Do it.
The quwwatin.
Ahsan. Ya Mahdi, you have the. The.
The quwwatin.
Okay.
عند. عند
ذي قوة عند
ذي قوة عند
أحسن
ذي
العرش
ذي
قوة عند ذي العرش
أحسن مكين أحسن now recite the whole ayah ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين do it من حسين
okay ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين
see no how lam. Beautifully he developed
there's no lam sure there's no lam at ذي العرش مكين
okay so next ذي
العرش
well.
مكين
okay next ayah as well okay so you help us okay You help us. So, next ayah. Mo.
Mo-ta-in.
Repeat after.
Mo-ta-in.
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 First, separately, okay?
Mo-ta-in.
Divide them into many sections, okay?
Mo-ta-in.
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 Again.
Mo-ta-in.
Hassan. Thamma.
Thamma.
Thumma ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين
ذي قوة عند العرش مكين
مهدي recited
ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين
أحسن ما شاء الله مطاعٍ ثم أمين
مطاعٍ ثم أمين
ثم أمين
ثم أمين
ثم
not ثم
so may Hussein recite it
مطاعٍ ثم أمين
أحسن أحسن okay next ayah only من Hussein will repeat okay وما
وما
صاحبكم وما صاحبكم
وما صاحبكم بمجنون
now faster join them وما صاحبكم again
وما صاحبكم
okay
مجنون
بمجنون
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 وما صاحبكم بمجنون
وما صاحبكم بمجنون
أحسن okay everyone وما صاحبكم بمجنون
وما صاحبكم بمجنون
مهدي
وما صاحبكم بمجنون
حسن Thank you so much.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Okay, next one. So, now you understood, yes, Min Hussein? Whenever you have a problem, okay, you cannot read the word, separate the vowel letters, okay? For example, وَلَقَدْ, you cannot do it. وَلَقَدْ, 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 وَلَقَدْ. So, you start from steps, step by step, okay? وَلَقَدْ. وَلَقَدْ step by step okay you divide the sounds, okay? Separate the sounds, vowel sounds, okay? Then next time, join them and read faster. Now do it. وَلَقَدْ وَلَقَدْ
وَلَقَدْ
أحسن وَلَقَدْ رَأَهُ رَأَهُ
رَأَهُ
وَلَقَدْ رَأَهُ
وَلَقَدْ رَأَهُ
أحسن. Once again.
وَلَقَدْ رَأَهُ
أحسن. بِالْأُفُقِ بِالْأُفُقِ بِالْأُفُقِ
بِالْأُفُقِ بِالْأُفُقِ
أحسن. بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ
بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ
أوكي. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ
وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ
أوكي. The next one, mashallah, you yourself should do.
Okay.
The next ayah.
وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِزَعْنِينَ
Okay. Join the, now the sounds.
Okay. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ زَمِينَ
بِالظَّنِينَ Once again, do separate the vowel sounds once again.
وَمَا
هُوَ وَمَا
وَمَا هُوَ
عَلَى Now, do not do all of them, okay? Word by word. وَمَا وَمَا
وَمَا وَمَا هُوَ هُوَ
هُوَ
عَلَى على الغيب
غيب على الغيب
غيب بذ
بضين نين
بذنين
بضانين بضانين اوكي وما هو نو
وما هو على الغيب البذنين
على الغيب بضانين
بضانين
3 حركات غيب بضانين Once more.
وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ الْبِذْنَ بِذَانِينَ
وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِذَانِينَ
وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِذَانِينَ
There's no noon, okay, after ba. There's no lam after ba, okay? غَيْبِ بِذَانِينَ
غَيْبِ بِذَانِينَ
Once more, read this ayah.
وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِذَانِينَ
MashaAllah. Great. Muhammad Yahya, the next ayah do the same way, okay? Step by step, okay? Separate the sounds.
وَمَا وَمَا هُوَ هُوَ بقولي
Don't say لام okay with حركات say it with حركات بقولي
بقولي من قولي
وما هو now together
وما هو بالقول
no بالقول no
no sorry
first time you said بقولي
وما هو بقولي
okay
شيطان شيطان الرجيم
أحسن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم right okay now read the whole ayah
وما هو بقول بقول شيطان الرجيم
أحسن وما هو بقول شيطان الرجيم okay that was great next ayah مهدي I mean, separate the sounds, okay?
Fa-inna, fa-inna.
Inna, no. Is it inna?
No, fa-ayna. Fa-ayna.
Hamza has fatha,
fa-ayna.
Right? Fa-ayna. Fa-ayna.
Fa-ayna tadhabun.
Ahsan. You know it, okay? Fa-ayna. So, one more thing, then we'll finish, inshallah, this session. The next session, we'll come back, okay? So, remember that the surahs that you already know, the surahs, the verses, the pages of the Quran that you have already memorized, okay? Do not practice them too much. If you want to improve your reading, go to the next verses, the surahs, the pages that you have not recited yet, okay? For example, you know Surah Al-Takwir, Mahdi knows, okay? But if he wants
Actually,
to improve...
Actually, I don't know.
Okay, I mean the memorization, okay?
So now I told you فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ read. You quickly said فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ because you already memorized it, yes?
I don't memorize.
You have heard it. You have practiced it, yes? Yeah.
No, so you have to go to... It. I just read.
Okay. For example, any other surahs, وَالشَّمْسُ وَالضُحَاهَا وَالضُحَا, for example, you know, they are easy. So go for new challenges. Accept new challenges.
Okay, I'll do it.
For example, go to... He always goes to page 10. That's not okay, okay? Go to page 100. 200, okay? This thank you so much. Inshallah, we'll be back. Thank you so much. Thanks to several international school networks and also IRIB English Ready, yes? Thank you so much. And we'll come back, inshallah, after reciting a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي.
In this part of the Kumail supplication, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَلَا تُعَاجِلْنِي بِالْعُقُوبَةِ عَلَى مَا عَمِلْتُهُ فِي خَلَوَاتِي. O Allah, I ask you not to hasten me to punishment for what I have done in private. مِنْ سُوءِ فِعْلِي وَإِسَاءَتِي. My evil acts in secrecy and my misdeeds. وَدَوَامِ تَفْرِيطِي وَجَهَالَتِي. My continuous negligence and my ignorance. وَكَثْرَةِ شَهَوَاتِي وَغَفْلَتِي. My passions, manifold passions, and my forgetfulness. Imam Ali alayhi salam tried to tell us that Almighty Allah's hastening the sinners to punishment can be removed by repentance and most importantly by beseeching to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, as did the people of Prophet Yunus. Imam Ali alayhi salam in these sentences has referred to four evil doings: dissipation, ignorance, passion, and forgetfulness. And we talked about three of them, the last of which was passion. And we concluded that those who have fell down into the well of passions, when startled by the messenger of death, finally understand that they have harmed themselves greatly. They have replaced a fine, blissful hereafter with a meek world whose happiness is simultaneous with grief and whose enjoyment with pleasure.
Oh Allah, my trials and sufferings have increased and my evilness has worsened. My good deeds have diminished and my misdeeds have become firm. And remote hopes restrain me from profiting with good deeds. And the world has deceived me with its allurements, and my own self has been affected by treachery and my delay. Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence.
Thank you, Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Let us continue discussing about passion using a story of an unlucky prince. The state of those entangled in the trap of the world and its delusions. The story of those who are drowned in the darkness of passions is like that of a young prince whose father inclined to prepare his marriage, and a uniquely beautiful princess was proposed to and chosen for him. When everything was ready for the wedding ceremony, everyone from the ordinary people to the noble ones were invited to that palace. In that palace, they were all treated with gifts, they were given various meals, and they were happy of the cheerfulness and astonished with the splendor of reception. The angel-like bride was brought into the bridal chamber with makeups and diverse adornments. But the groom was absent. He was not found in spite of the thorough search. On that very night, the groom had drunk excessive wine and his mind had darkened, just as his luck. As he was in the state of drunkenness, he left the feast unknowingly and passed some alleys. Then he reached a crypt of the Zoroastrians, in which they usually laid the bodies of their dead, lighting up fires and candles beside them. Seeing the crypt, the young intoxicated prince conceived it as the bridal chamber and entered it. There, the body of a dead old woman, still intact, was put by the Zoroastrians. The unlucky drunk prince hugged the dead body passionately all night. When he was sober again with the next morning breeze, he found himself in a terrifying crypt by an ugly dead body. He almost died with the embarrassment, with that shame. He kept thinking of how he could hide this happening from others. And when he was thinking, his father, along with the servants, found him and knew about the disgrace. This is the panorama of the lives of those who have been deceived by this passion of the world, by exchanging a lucky hereafter with this world. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has narrated from his father, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who stated, طُوبَى لِمَنْ تَرَكَ شَهْوَةً حَاضِرَةً لموعود لم يرى. Blessed is the one who leaves a present passion for getting an unseen promised paradise. حفت الجنة بالمكاره وحفت النار بالشهوات. The paradise is enveloped with the hardness of worship and obedience, and fire is surrounded by passions. We have different narrations warning the servants about passions. Someone told the fifth infallible Imam alayhi salam, Imam Baqir, my worship and fasting are little, but I am willing not to have unlawful sustenance. Imam alayhi salam told him, وَأَيُّجْتِهَادٍ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ عِفَّةِ بَطْنٍ وَفَرْجٍ. No deed is better than avoiding unlawful sustenance and passions. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, we have two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, Brother Sajjad Haida. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Sajjad Haida, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, during the history of Iran, especially in the 19th century, there was a protest called in Farsi as Nehzade Tambaku. In English, the Persian Tobacco Protest. It was led by a Shia Ayatollah, that is the late Ayatollah, Grand Ayatollah Mirza Hassan Shirazi, who was the greatest religious authority on that time, located in Samarra. He put his hosa and his teaching center over there. You know, he in fact issued a fatwa in 1891 against the tobacco use in Iran, and that was because the Nasiruddin Shah, the Shah of Iran, the King of Iran on that time, gave rights of buying and selling of the tobacco to the British Empire. So in a fatwa, a religious authority shows his opposition towards this and consider it as muharaba with Imam al-Zaman, you know, a fight against Imam al-Mahdi. He wanted to show his, utmost opposition to this decision of the time. This is the history, a short history of Nehzade Tambaku or the Persian tobacco protest. But what lessons can we take today from this act of the Ayatollah, I mean Mirza Hassan Shirazi, in order to face imperialism and the imperial powers in the world? Said Mohsen, what lessons would you take?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, we need to look into the depth of what happened.
Yes.
We see that at that time, and even in today's world time, yes. We see people used to smoke as well. Like, it wasn't like the way that people were not smoking.
Okay.
But the fatwa or the order or the rule of forbidding the smoking in Iran, it was done for the Iranians only, mm-hmm. and not the rest of the world by Ayatollah Shirazi. So when we look at this, we see that there must be something else or a hidden message behind it. There must be something important. What we see that in that time, East India Company or the Britain government, obviously, it was invading different countries through different means.
Yes.
We can see that in East India Company with the agreement of a trade event into the
subcontinent.
And they took the rulership of the subcontinent for many years. And then when they went out, they divided the subcontinent into different countries. At that time, obviously, they also wanted to enter the territory of the Iran or Iranian land.
That's right.
Which was led by Nasiruddin Shah.
Okay.
And the opposition which was made or from within Iran by many scholars, and it was led by mainly Mirza Shirazi,
yes.
It shows us that it wasn't a mere religious fatwa. It was a political stand, basically,
yes.
Against the Taghut, against the vested powers, or against those who are imperialists. So it was against them. So it has an importance, because when we look at these details, we can easily understand that how bad is imperialism and how good is Islam, that Islam gives even a power to a jurist to stop an enemy from entering into the territories.
Yes. And we know that on that time, the Qajar dynasty in Iran, because it was invaded from one part from the Soviet Union part, the other part from the Britishers, you know, in their own contracts, you know, they used to sell Iran for free, you know, for a payment, a simple payment during the year, an annual payment on a monthly basis or a yearly basis, or, for example, in this Reji contract, which was the tobacco one, they gave the right of selling and buying the tobacco to the British Empire for 50 years.
Yeah.
See, for 50 years. And this was how the country was led by these people. And as you said, the